Penguin Random House Audio presents Miseducation, How Climate Change is Taught in America by Katie Wirth. Read for you by Emily Ellett. This book was written with the support of Frontline and the Ground Truth Project. Introduction. Sixth grade science teacher Kristen Del Real had invited me to come by during her prep period. So for the first time since age 13, I found myself walking the halls of my alma mater, Chico Junior High School. The corridors were missing their old rows of lockers, an accommodation for the school shooting era, I supposed, but still smelled of erasers and turmoil. It was spring, 2019, and I had been investigating what American kids learn about climate change. So when I traveled to my Northern California hometown for a visit, I reached out to local teachers to ask how they approach the subject. I found Ms. Del Real in the 400 wing, preparing a lesson about geological time. She reminded me of many people I know from my hometown. She wore a fleece vest over her jeans, her makeup-free face tan from jogging the oak-lined trails of our local park. She also reminded me of teachers I'd met all over the country. Her demeanor was gentle but authoritative, laugh lines supporting the enthusiasm of her smile. It was March, and her class wouldn't learn about global warming until May, but unbeknownst to her students, they were already preparing to grasp it. Her lesson on geological time would set them up to understand Earth's natural cycles. Then she would bring in legume sprouts to demonstrate how rhizomes pull nitrogen from the air and turn it into soil nutrients. That would lead to lessons on the atmosphere, solar radiation, the greenhouse effect, and weather systems. "Once all those pieces are in place, when we get to global warming, the kids will just get it," she said. After that would come the part of the year Ms. Del Real loves best, solution projects. For the month of May, her students would work in groups, inventing ways to solve the planet's greenhouse gas problem. "Children are so perceptive. They understand things aren't necessarily great, and it frightens them," she said. The solution projects help dispel that fear, reminding them that humans are amazing at innovation and invention when we have to be, and the time for that is now. 3 years earlier, her students had been in the middle of their solution projects when they started showing up crabby. Usually, she said, they were excited to get to work. Now they thought their projects were dumb. "Why are we even doing this?" they asked her. "We don't need to worry about climate change." She soon learned the source of their discontent. Her students had been leaving her lab and walking into history class, where the teacher was showing them YouTube videos alleging that global warming was a hoax, that it was caused by natural solar cycles, and that it was nothing to worry about. The next day, she walked to the 300 wing and confronted the history teacher about undermining her curriculum. She explained her lessons and methodology, the evidence she has her students examine and analyze, and the California science standards the curriculum fits into. "I said, they're 11. We need to be really mindful of when one adult they trust says one thing and another adult they trust says don't worry about it." He said, "Well, I just want them to know both sides." If today is a school day in America, approximately 3 million teachers are educating 50 million children enrolled in 100,000 public schools right now. The scene in each class is playing out differently since there is no national curriculum. States provide guidelines of what students should learn each year, but schools can use any method they'd like to get them there. Which is to say, it's impossible to definitively describe what kids are learning about recent climate change, since that happens behind the closed doors or on the individual Zoom screens of classrooms in every community in America. But there's a lot that can be known. To that end, I reviewed scores of textbooks, built a 50-state database, and traveled to more than a dozen communities to talk to kids about what they have learned about the phenomenon that will shape their future. What I found were points of friction in abundance, teachers who disagree over whether to teach it, students who want to learn about it but are not taught, others who are taught it but reject what they learn, district officials who struggle with teachers who refuse to teach it, or with those who insist on teaching it, parents who rage that their children are taught it or that they are not. That the classroom is not an ideologically neutral space when it comes to climate science is, in a way, strange, because climate science itself is ideologically neutral. The evidence for human-caused climate change is now as strong as the evidence linking cigarettes and cancer. Yet, as in the case of the children shuttling between the 300 and 400 wings of Chico Junior High, students are often asked to debate a subject that scientists themselves do not. Adult politics soak into the spongy minds of school children in a number of ways. Many of the nation's most popular textbooks introduce them to alternate theories for which there is no evidence. Teachers, usually unwittingly, find their way to online lesson plans created by moneyed interests. Some states require a robust climate science education, while others carefully omit it from their academic standards. Every year, lawmakers propose legislation aimed at swaying what children learn about the subject. And of course, kids hear it outside school, too. One of America's two major political parties, the one that, until recently, held power in all three branches of the U.S. government and still dominates most state houses, approaches any mention of the climate crisis with something ranging between hesitation and outright denial. Children absorb these messages from the adults in their lives. It all adds up. Young people are more likely than their parents or grandparents to accept that humans are messing with the climate, but nonetheless, a 2021 UN survey found that a quarter of Americans under 18 declined to call it an emergency, a rate higher than any other nation surveyed in Western Europe or North America. Why does this matter? Because just as it behooves us to teach students to read or add sums together, we will all benefit if the next generation has basic literacy in the metamorphosing world they find themselves in. Heat-trapping pollution has already begun roiling Earth's natural systems. Among other things, it has unleashed natural disasters with greater frequency and fury than at any time in human memory. Virtually no matter where they live, today's children will bear witness to human-caused climate catastrophes in their communities. That's certainly the case for Ms. Del Real's students, who in their short lives have already experienced more megafires, fires that burn more than 100,000 acres, than their parents and grandparents ever did. Her classes each year now include a handful of students who once lived in Paradise, a town in the Sierra foothills 15 miles east of Chico. In 2018, a megafire called the Camp Fire burned 90% of buildings in Paradise, earning it the distinction of being the most destructive fire in California history. Scientists generally avoid blaming any individual disaster on climate change, but this one, they say, was covered with its fingerprints. The changes to Earth's atmosphere have shortened California's rainy season both in the spring and the fall. When the campfire caught on November 8, Paradise had received just 0.88 inches of rain in the previous 6 months. Moreover, California's summers have steadily warmed. Paradise's five hottest summers had all occurred in the 5 summers before the campfire. That relentless heat had sucked moisture from the town's clay soil and ponderosa pine cover. As bad as California's fires are today, worse await. If emissions aren't sharply curtailed, a state-funded study found, extreme wildfires will strike 50% more often and burn 77% more land by 2100. As these fires burn, coastal areas worldwide places now home to 200 million people, could fall permanently below the high tide line.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?